Father, I just lift Brother Dr. Alfred Mitchell to you, Lord God, as he shares his word, as he shares his heart with us, Lord God. Lord, I thank you that he took the time out of his schedule to come to this place today. And Lord, anoint him and let his words be your words. In Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Glory, hallelujah.
Make sure the mic is on, but we'll see here.
How's that? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Listen, before we get started, I just want to thank Pastor Hatfield and his wife for inviting me here. And you know, the Lord works in mysterious ways, and I'll share something with you. I fell in love with the pastor the first day he walked in. He was telling me about the pain that he was having. And you get a feeling. There's a feeling that you get when you meet certain people, right? The spirit. I've had times in my office where patients will come back and say, you know what, we've been to a lot of different offices, but when we come to your office, we feel something different, right? That's God. You know, and what I'm trying to say is that it's not about me. In this church, we are all brothers. It's not Dr. Mitchell, Brother Mitchell. Because I know there's a greater physician. You know, when patients come to see us, I tell them, you get the best of both worlds. You get a good physician, but you get the greatest physician that works through us. Right? Amen. You know, I've heard all the things going on with your sister. There's no one that is not within God's reach. Okay? Prayer works. Let me tell you, my mother passed away last week. Sunday morning at 5:23, and I saw a lady, 94 years old, who went on, but she was at peace. She was at peace. She followed the Lord all the way. I remember my mother used to, every morning, 2:30, she used to get up and pray for us, all the kids, all the grandkids. And I used to tell her, you know, Mom, I could feel your prayer. When I started practice, she said, I want to pray that your practice will be successful. I said, Mom, slow down. I'm getting busy here. Okay, you can ease up a little bit. She said, I'll keep praying for you. I want you to be busy. I said, okay, Mom, just slow down. This is getting a little bit too much. But the thing about it I want to share, before I get into the sermon today, I just want to share with you that there is a God who's in control.
Amen.
And when man writes you off, the Lord does not write you off.
Amen.
And as a surgeon, I'll tell you something. Let me share this story with you, because the Lord has impressed upon me to share this with you. I was in surgery one time. I was doing a case. And a young lady was on a boat, ended up amputating her finger. And I was in surgery for 4.5 hours. After that, I told the anesthesiologist, you know, I have to go out and tell the mother. I've done everything that I could do. I've changed vessels, hooked up vessels, nerves, everything. There's nothing more that I could do. So I scrubbed out, went outside, and when I went in the waiting room, she was there with about 15 other people. And I told her, you know, I said, listen, I've been in there 4 hours. We've tried everything, but there's nothing more that I could do. And the mother said to me, you know, Dr. Mitchell, go back in there, it's okay. That's what Mom said. We've been praying. And she said, go back in there and it's okay. I'm saying, I hope she understands what I'm saying. So I went back in the surgery, scrubbed back in, and the patient was there, and I was looking at her finger because we left everything in place. And I said, by the way, it looks a little bit pink, right? I said, give me a minute. Stuck it. Then I started seeing a drop of blood. Drop of blood, drop of blood. Drop of blood. Wow. It looks good. I ran back outside. I said, let me tell you something. She said, no, don't say anything. You did not take it off. God is great. There's a God that we serve.
Amen.
Let me tell you. And doctors, we see it, but we don't tell you about it. Because it's not about you. When you do certain things, you come out, oh, look at me. It's about him. And a lot of times we miss an opportunity to talk about him. So when I talk, preach today about the sermon, we all heard them. You know, this past 2 years, It's been a turning point in many lives.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Think about it. A little virus, look what it has done. It has made us stop and pause. Which way are we going to go? You want to be on this side or that side? You remember when Elijah prayed? He said, either serve God or be on that side. We can't waver. And that's called when we falter, right? You can't, you're indecisive. God could work at that person on the opposite end. No one is not within his grasp. A lot of times say, there's nothing that could be done for him. He's gone. God, thank God he doesn't say that about us, right?
That's right.
Okay, so I want to remind you today that we serve a great God who's compassionate.
Amen.
He thinks about every single one of us. And think about it. Who saw the pictures of the new telescope, pictures in space, the Webber telescope? Yes. When you look out there, you see all those planets, the galaxies, billions and billions of other planets, right? But then you think about it. Christ came here for us. One little speck of a planet in all of that. We're special, right? I used to tell my wife when I was a little kid, I used to like perfect grapes. So I'll look at the grapes. No, throw that one away. Look that one, shine. Oh, this is a good one. Throw it away. But when God made everything, he said, all is so good. Amen. And that's why he came to this earth. He wants to restore us, right?
Amen.
I saw a gentleman the other day drive his Corvette Stingray, and I saw him say, oh, that's a nice car. He said, yes, I worked on these cars for years and not restored this car. And you saw in his face that happiness, right? You look at that. So before I get into sermon, I want to tell you, hold on. You have someone that cares about us. All of us, every single one of us.
Amen.
We have storms that come in our lives. I'll talk about that later. But sometimes it's to get our attention, right?
Yep.
So as a physician, you have a greater physician. And I want to tell you something else about a good insurance plan to get, okay? We talk about all kinds of insurance plans. Here it goes. This is the best insurance plan you could get.
Amen.
Better than Aetna. Better than Blue Cross and Blue Shield, Cigna, Humana, all the others. This is your major insurance right here, God's insurance plan. All the others are secondary plan, right? So when we are in sync with him, there's nothing that he can do. And we have seen it every day.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Okay, please bow your heads with me, please. Father, thank you for your blessings and your presence in this church today. Dear Lord, as we open your holy word, please continue to cleanse our hearts of all unrighteousness. Lord, I'll put you first in my life. Have your Holy Spirit come into our lives and change us, dear Lord. Speak to me, through me, and for me.
Yes.
Lord, we will always give you the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Okay, so the topic of my sermon today is when he calls, are you ready? What are you going to do? And I want to talk to you about Jonah. We're going to take a deep dive into Jonah. Because every time, you know, it's when you read the Bible, you learn something new.
Yes, you do.
I read it over and over. But there's more to learn in the Bible.
Amen.
And what I notice, God is in the character building business. Right? As we go through life, it's a process that we go through every day. He's working on us to develop that character.
Yes.
He's trying to restore us.
Yes.
And what I want to do, I'm going to read for you in the first chapter of Jonah. It's, you know, it's a small book, 4 chapters, that is it. Mm-hmm. But I want you to listen to this, and as we go through, I want to tell you the story. It's a fantastic story as you go through to learn about the God we serve, the God that loves us, his compassion. So chapter 1, I'll read a few verses here. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah. Remember, Jonah's a prophet. He's not me, he's a prophet. What is a prophet? A man that is commissioned, man or woman, commissioned by God, right? To speak his word. God tells him to go and tell something. Now, you don't go when the Lord tells you to say something to someone. Well, you know, I want to tell you something. The Lord tells you, no, you say exactly what the Lord wants you to say, right? You can't butter it up. He's telling you, these are my words. He wants you to speak his words. So just to backtrack, I want to give you the layout of the story of what was going on with Jonah. Let's put something up on the screen. Once we get it up, so this is the background. Jonah lived in a place called Gath-Hepher, Israel, and in those areas, Israel, Babylon, Nineveh, all those areas is part of Iran and Iraq, and it's mainly Iraq, okay? And in that area, so God gave Jonah a mission, right? God said, Jonah, I want you to go that way to Nineveh, right? But Jonah, what does he do? He decides to go the other way, right? He changes his mind. So here it is, God speaks to Jonah and he said, Lord, why do you want me to do that? I'm thinking, what is in Jonah's mind? You want me to go that way? No, wait. So he's thinking about it. Next slide, I wanted to tell you. So Nineveh, when you look at that area was called the Fertile Crescent. So as you see, there was Babylon, Assyria, and as you go northeast, there was Nineveh. Nineveh was a city built by, you remember a name called Nimrod. Mm-hmm. Nimrod was a great-grandson of Noah. Mm-hmm. So after the flood, you remember Babylon, Babel, they were building the Tower of Babel, the dark came down, changed all the different languages, right? Yeah. So they scattered. So Nimrod went north from Babylon, up and built Nineveh. And he built many other cities. He was a warrior and a hunter, right? So listen to this. Baghdad, Babylon is actually 53 miles southwest of Baghdad. Nineveh, that great city of the Syrian Empire, was actually called Mosul. And that's where ISIS is now, right? They've destroyed the Great Wall. Nineveh was the capital city of the Assyrians. Okay, next slide. So when, and actually they started to dig up parts of Nineveh that we could see. It was a city that was about, you know, about 1,850 acres. It had a lot of gates. It was sitting right on the banks of the Tigris River. So in that area, you had the Tigris-Euphrates, which was called the Fertile Crescent. Because having those two rivers, the soil was just great soil for growing plants and all those different things. And it sat on that side of the east side of the Tigris River. Next slide. So, and there you go. Look, these are some of the gates from the city that they've excavated. Look at that. They had many gates and they found it. And so they knew Nineveh was a great city. And as the Syrian Empire. Next slide. That's it? Okay, so we could turn it off. So I wanted, before we tell the story, I wanted you to kind of understand what's going on in the area. And whenever I read the Bible, I like to find out what's going on? Where are these areas? How are they moving? Just like the children of Israel came up from Egypt, they could have gone to the Canaan, to the Promised Land within a few days, but he had to take them through the wilderness, right? Character building. That is what he was doing. Before I give you this, we have to get you up to a certain level so you'll understand his mercy, compassion, and all these different things. All right, so here we go. Jonah had a mission. And it's very important to remember this. When God has a mission, God isn't just concerned about the mission. He's concerned about the missionary too.
Yes.
Right? Both.
Right.
Along the way, he wants you to learn some things about him, and he wants you to carry out his message. So here it is. Jonah decided to go the other way. Look at the distant Tarshish. That's going all the way out to Spain, Portugal, all that area. He wanted to go as far as he could. Why? Mm-hmm. Well, let me tell you. The Assyrians has always been fighting with Israel, right? They divided into two different camps, Israel, Judah. When the tribes divided, 10 was to the north, and 10 and 2 was to the south. So he has Israel, the capital of Samaria, Judah, the capital of Jerusalem. So that was the division there. But the Assyrians were fighting part of the northern kingdom, always fighting with the Israelites. And they hated the Assyrians. Let me tell you. Prophets were for the Israelites, for the Jews, right? God had prophets and they were among themselves. But here it is. It was the first time that God sent a prophet to a heathen nation. Think about it. A heathen nation. And now Jonah, you say, why them?
Yeah.
Why them, Lord? Give me a, wait. You know, us, Jonah might say, you know, it's not my turn. Could you find someone else? I could, I'm picturing as I'm reading this, I'm in his mind. So, you want me to go that way to those people that they're fighting with us, destroying our land, they're heathens. And if you read about the Assyrians, oh my goodness, they were, they're vicious. Yes. When they went into war, the things that they did, you know, left people on the side, they were vicious to make you know, hey, you know, this is what's going to happen if you go against us. So when they'll come in with the army, okay, what do you want? Take it, leave us alone, you know? They were that powerful. So Jonah is saying, why should I go and talk to them about you, dear Lord? Why? He didn't want that at all. And once we disobey a commandment from the Lord, what happens? He went down to Joppa, right? Bought the fare. Went down into the bottom of the ship. And your life starts aspiring down, down, down when we go away from the Lord. Thank God he is a loving and compassionate God that will come after you.
Yes, right?
You know, when the Lord gives you a mission, it's not go find someone else, Lord. You know, it's his turn. No. He wants you to complete the mission. And he's going to come at you to help complete the mission. And the thought about it when I read this, my brothers and sisters, listen to this. He's a prophet, right? So he knows better, right? He's a prophet. Now, why are you going to run? Where are you going to hide? What are you going to do? He's a prophet. And he knows better, but he goes. All right? So now he goes down into that ship, right? He goes along. And verse 4 said, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Now hold on. These merchant marines that were on the Mediterranean, they knew the waters, right? But this storm that came up, this was a supernatural storm, let me tell you. A storm like that. When it comes up, when God creates the storm, supernatural. Because when the boat is going this up and down, right? And they were saying, then the mariners were afraid. These guys were in the ocean for years. They traveled to different ports.
That's right.
They were afraid. When you have these guys afraid, you better be afraid too if you're with them, right? Then every mariner were afraid, and they cried every man unto his God. Every man cried unto his God. Remember, the pagans then, they had different gods for different things, right? So what do you do when you're troubled? It's right. It's starting to break, right? You know? And every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were on the ship into the sea to lighten them of it. But Jonah was going down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Now, listen. When you run away from God and you cause problems for yourself, remember, you cause problems for others too. You pull them into your nest of problems.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? These poor guys, they're making a living. Think about it. They had to throw everything overboard. Talk about the financial loss for those guys, right? And then they were worried about, what is going on here? This is not right. This is not. I've been out here 50 years. on the ocean. This storm is different from all others, right, that we've seen. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Rise and call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish. What are you saying here? Is that, you know what? Sometimes it's the person that's causing the problem, right? The Jonah in our lives, the Jonah everywhere, that has caused the problem. And you're working, doing everything to right the ship, and they're doing nothing to help, right? We have, we don't bother those at all, right? What do? You're struggling every day. You're working. I'm working hard. I'm trying to do this. And that person that's caused the problem, he's asleep. Okay. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Rise and call upon thy God. You can picture you up on the ship, right? You're struggling, trying to stay alive, and this guy's sleeping. Jonah, get up. You walk down. Come on up here, Then, and they said, everyone to his fellow, come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Now listen, lots is luck, okay? Really, you put stones in a bag, there's a black one, there are other stones, and they okay, pick it up. I can see these guys. Okay, the next one picks out a stone. Okay, not me. And it goes down and it falls on Jonah. Right? Don't box in the Lord. The Lord will use every means.
Yes, he will.
Yeah? He'll use all the means. And remember, why would the Lord use this to use that? Remember, he fed Elijah with ravens. All kinds of different things the Lord will do, right? So then they said unto him, I like this, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thy, these are questioning him, interrogation. What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of the heaven, which had made the sea and the dry land. Okay? He told them. The problem is him, right? And then were the men exceedingly afraid, and they said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew, he told them already, that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said unto him, What shall we do with thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea roared, that was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea, so the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. So he caused it, right? Now listen to this. He's running from the Lord. And now he wants these sailors to do his dirty work. Throw me over. Jonah, you can go and jump yourself. All right? Why are you asking these sailors, throw me over? He can walk and jump. Jump yourself. But no. This is the first time he asked, kill me. Throw me overboard. Nevertheless, these were considered pagans, right? So he's asking, throw them over. But no, they didn't want to do it. They have a heart, right? They said, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea roared and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So what they're saying is this. Lord, we don't want to throw this man overboard and his blood is on our shoulders. Yeah. So guess what? Sometimes it's the heathen, the others, that we don't want to preach about his work that is helping us. So these men, they were rowing hard as they can. I don't want to kill this gentleman. We don't want to throw him overboard. They're rowing. But the storm got worse. And finally, what they had to do? Pick him up, throw him overboard. That's it. Right? Listen, in our lives, we have Jonas, right? And sometimes we get in the way of the Lord. Sometimes you have to say, that's it. Let the Lord work with that children. Let the Lord work with them. But sometimes we get, we interfere.
Yes, we do.
We get in between. Because the Lord could do miraculous things. That is why, never give up. When you preach the truth to someone, right? You're not the one that's going to convert them, right? It's the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Elijah said it's the Holy Spirit that comes into your heart to change it, to help turn it around.
Amen.
All these things. So, but you have to share the word with them and let the Spirit work on them. So, Jonah's overboard. And remember, the fish didn't come right away. So he was just right off, gobbled up. No. Right? Jonah was sinking. And I don't know, hopefully you haven't experienced this. Has anyone come near to drowning one time? Mm-hmm. Well, let me tell you. I was in California one day with my friend when we were in the Air Force, and we went down to Huntington Beach, and we were out on a boogie board. And we started paddling way out there, and this wave hit us, boom, and threw me over. And you know, as you're going down the salt water, and the worst thing, you ever had seaweed wrapped around you, standing on the beach, and that seaweed wrapped around your legs, and it feels wrapped. I can imagine Jonah's going down, the seaweeds, the water. He can't breathe. And he, in his mind as a prophet, he's saying, you know, this is it. This is it for me. You know? And sometimes the Lord has to interrupt us as we go through life, right? Stop us. He has to get our attention. So what the Lord did, he provided a big fish. Now let's talk about that. A lot of times you hear about Jonah. And people said, I don't know about this, a fish, and there were scientific studies. What was out there in the Mediterranean that could swallow a man? Shark, hunchback, with blah. You know what? Listen, I want to read this text here in Matthew 12, 38. And Jonah's a true story, and I'll tell you why. If you read this text here, and it said, then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee, but he... Jesus, right? Answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after sign, and there shall be no sign given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus said, talked about Jonah. Now if you said that, okay, that is fiction, well, you're saying what Jesus said was fiction. No, a true story. And listen, when I told you about when you look up in the sky, when you look up in space, and you see what God has created, the planets, the earth, and all that. Come on, you think my God can't create something big to swallow a man? You're boxing in our Lord. You can't do that. So it's amazing. A fish, they have a big scientific, you know, panel. Well, was it really a fish, or was it a guppy, or was it a big... No. We know what our Lord could do, right? He could do so many things. So, going back, so now Jonah is in the belly of the whale, right? And he's there. It's a pause. He's there. Waiting 3 days. And then he comes to himself. And imagine, you're in the belly of this whale, in the GI tract, as a physician. I did anatomy. You open the GI tract. It's not nice, right? So he's in there with all the gastric juices, seaweed, octopus, everything that's inside of the belly of a big fish. He's sitting there. And what comes upon him is that, wow. I thought this was it for me. You know, have you come to a near-death experience where he's in there and he's thinking. And sometimes, listen to this, sometimes when the Lord wants to get our attention, sometimes the best place for us It's not the nicest place. He's not going to hold you up on Tahiti, but, you know, Hawaii and some condo or something like that. The smelly place. You can't go anywhere. Now he has your attention. He has your attention. So it was the safest place for Jonah at that time. So after that, Jonah's prayer, and I'll just go over some of it. This is a prayer, when you hear it, this is a man that actually, it's a Thanksgiving prayer, right? He's saying, Lord, I thought I was cast away from your sight. I was going down. So, and Jonah prayed unto Lord out of, prayed unto his God out of the fish belly, and he said, I cried by reasons of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell, it's called Sheol, when you're buried, you know, there's gates and all these things. He cried, and thou heardst my voice, for thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the sea, and the floods compassed about me. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about even to the soul. The depth closed me round about, and the weeds wrapped around my head. You're going deep, my goodness. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. You see? He's saying that he was cast away as he was going down. And you know how your life reflects? You know how fast your brain can process? I'll tell you something. One time, my first accident that I ever had, someone crossed the light and I saw myself going to hit him. And I was going on my way back to the office. Do you know the things that process in my brain? Oh my goodness, my clinic, the patient's coming. Oh my goodness, this, Natalie, I'm calling it. All those things happen so fast, in seconds. Mm-hmm. How your brain could just move through. You could, your whole life could flash before you. That happens. A process, you know, I wish you could just click it on and off, you know, just process everything like that. But that is what happens. So Jonah saw his life, what he was doing, and he started to reflect on, you know, God called me, I'm going the other way. And Jonah's a prophet, right?
Right.
He knew that when you start to pray, prayer works. And he knows that God is so compassionate. You know, on the human side, if Biden tells you I'm going to do something, he didn't, you want water, Jonah, give us some more. Take all of it. Right? Why not leave him there? That's it. But Jonah said, those that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Idols. The things that we put in front of us that are important, and we forget about God. Vanities. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spoke unto the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Now, sometimes I was thinking as I was reading this, I was saying, no, not dry land. Leave him out of the way. Let him swim in for a minute. Just to really, let's make sure. You know, a prophet of that. But he brought him on dry land, right? And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time. This is the second time. Now, after you've been through all of that, right? You're not ready. Yes, sir, I'm ready to go. Right? Yes, sir, what do you want me to do? So the Lord came to him a second time, and arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey. Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried. Listen to this. Was Jonah fully converted? Did Jonah really turn the corners yet? Do you know, Jonah still had some resentment, right?
Yes.
About preaching to the Ninevites. So in essence, if it was me, I would, yes, 40, I would be, you know, when I got into Nineveh, you know, I would be saying, yes, 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. But Jonah, 40 days, he's been walking around 40 days. You know, he didn't really go with a passion. But still, the Lord was working with him. So here it is, he preaches to the Ninevites. And what amazing thing happened. After he told them 40 days just preaching, they listened. And think about it, the Assyrians, they knew about the children of Israel, they knew about part of the Red Sea, they knew about all these things, and they were saying, you know what, this is the Israelite, this is God, I've done all these things. We are on the radar, we need to make a change. So guess what? There was one of the biggest revival in the Bible, when you think about it. There's 120,000 souls who knew the left from the right, those were children. And what about all the other families? Yeah. So there was a big revival. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Preach, but let the Holy Spirit do the rest.
Amen.
Jonah didn't convert him. It was the Holy Spirit that touched the heart. So the Ninevites, sackcloth and ashes. The king, same thing. Even the animals. And you know what? If you look back in the history of the Assyrians during that time when they were converted, they weren't fighting. It was interesting. I love history. And you look at that time period, when that conversion happened, they noticed no wars, nothing was going on. So there's a time. And do you know, actually, the Syrians and Ninevites were the ones that will come back and destroy Israel further on down the road. Okay, so after they were converted, Jonah was he happy?
Nope.
No, Jonah, listen to this. Jonah wasn't happy. Here it is. A whole nation converted. And Jonah was angry. He was angry. Why? Why? He didn't want them converted at all. He didn't want God's mercy on these people at all.
That's right.
A prophet, my brothers and sisters. He didn't want that. He was upset. And it said, now you get into chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore, I fled before you unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. So what's happened here? Jonah was upset. So now he comes clean. Now we knew why Jonah ran. He wasn't afraid of going to Nineveh at all. That's right, he didn't like them. He didn't want them to be converted. And you know, listen, after he preached, he left the city, right? The other part of the story, he left the city, sat up on a mountain, was hoping that maybe he'll get them anyway. You know, this prophet, all the way along, and God is still working with him. So Jonah went out of the city, sat on the east side of the city, and there he made a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what will become of the city. So he hightailed it out of the city. Okay, come on, Lord, do your thing. You know, get him. And he's sitting there waiting, and it didn't happen. And you know what? Pride. Look at me. You know, I prophesied, because remember, earlier, Jonah, with Jeroboam, he told Jeroboam, the Lord will work with you and you'll get back the northern lands of Israel. So Jonah had that prestige as a prophet. What I say, this is what's going to happen. So he had that. So he went to Nineveh, and his pride, no, they were converted. I would be so happy, Pastor. You go on, you have you know... You go and you preach. You have a revival. Mm-hmm. And the people confer. I'll be saying, Lord, hallelujah. God is great. Hallelujah. Amen. All those words. Amen. And Jonah, he didn't say that at all. So here he is, sitting up on that hill, pouting. Temper tantrum, right? You've seen a kid getting upset. And he explained to the Lord, this is why I didn't want to go.
Yeah.
Here goes the Lord that has saved him in the belly of the fish. And he prayed out, Lord, give me another chance. I will do what you want me to do. The Lord saved him, but the Ninevites, 120,000 plus, he was upset about it. right?
Yeah.
Attitude. I think he needs a serious attitude adjustment, you know? Yes, so, and the Lord prepared a gourd, and it came up over Jonah. It's like a plant, you know, came up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of a plant. Why was he glad about the people that he converted? So he's there feeling good. Oh, I have the shade, not in the heat, I'm feeling good. But then God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. Okay, a plant, he was in the shade, he's happy, feeling good. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted, and he wished himself to die. He wanted to die again. Three times, you know, the third time, okay, Jonah, you're gonna get your wish. But you know, God. You know, so every time I read this story, I'm listening to him, I said, God, why did he put up with him like this? You know, but then you look at your own life, right? How many times we have gone that way? How many times we have prayed to the Lord, Lord, give me another chance. Please, I'll do it. But you know, the Lord knows us. And you know, the other part of the Bible that I read is very interesting. Remember when Jesus stood in front of Pilate and he said, I'm here as a what? Witness to the truth. And he said, what is truth? Truth doesn't change. Truth could be anything, right? And you know, we see today, I'm not going to do politics, but the truth. People can't stand and say, this is right, this is wrong. On one side or the other, they're in the gray zone. And that's why when I hear people talk about, I'm the black sheep of the family, I said, listen, if you read the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, it talks about those of us who either white or black. It's the gray zone, those of us who vacillate. We're on one side. That's the bad side to be on, in the middle. As if when you're on that side, God could still reach you. God could still work with you. No one is that far from him that he can't change and turn you around. But it's when we waffle, we falter, right? That's where that indecisiveness. Either follow him or you don't. But when we're in between that lukewarm state, that is where we run into problems. And after that, so he wanted to die the third time. And God said to Jonah, dost thou well be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast pity for that plant, that shade, for which thou hast not labored. He did nothing, just grew up over there, which came up in the night and perished in the night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. My friends, every time you read the story, we learn something about our God.
Amen.
Right? The truth is that when the devil came to her, he said, God is a dictator. He wants power to himself. He don't want you to know all these different things. That's what Satan put in the minds and the angels. But when Christ said, as a witness to the truth, I will tell you what the truth is all about. The truth is that we have a God who loves us.
Amen.
He cares about us.
Amen.
He will give us a second and a third and a fourth chance because what he wants to restore us. He will never, like I said, when man writes us off, the Lord will never write us off, right? And you know, every day we get up, you got to step outside, look up and say, Lord, thank you for another day. Because that is your second chance to get it right. When you don't get that second chance, that is it. And there's so much for us to be thankful for every day. So sister, the Lord is there. He said he could work with anyone. And you know what? When we're forgiven, forget about what happened in the past. That is it. What are you doing today, tomorrow? And you know, all of us, the Lord has a special assignment for every one of us.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
But what happened? He has to get our attention. And sometimes, storms that come in our lives, it's not just it's not the devil. So, it's not the devil that causes this storm. Sometimes, this is why we call it, the Lord brings a storm to get our attention. And sometimes we ask, why is it I'm not being blessed? Sometimes we're out of position. When he blesses us, will that blessing flow through us to others?
Right.
We're out of position.
Right.
I remember when I was playing sports, basketball, and they had this called a three-man weave. And this one star player on the team, Paul Grant, I'll never forget him. He would throw the ball. So I run, okay, fast break, we run. My job was to get in the side and wait for him to throw the ball. And I said, Paul, give me the ball. You also shoot the ball, give me the ball. So this time we were coming down court. I said, no, I'm not gonna get in position. I'm gonna go up. They said, Paul, give me the ball. So Paul was dribbling and he threw it right where it was supposed to be. And he looked, I was supposed to be right there. But because of my pride, right? Give me the ball, I want a shot too. You're out of position. A lot of times we get out of position where the Lord wants us, right?
We do.
We get out of position. So what we have to do to change, and I'll tell you when true change comes about, when we open our hearts, right? It has to, a true profound change. That's when you see the blessings. A true change. We could fake others, but you can't fake God. You can't hide. He knows your true heart. And that is what needs to change. And we all, as our lives go forward, we're going to reach a turning point, right?
Amen.
Where we have to make a decision which way we're going to go. And because our God is long-suffering, because he cares about us, he will never give up on us. He will never give up on us. And you know, God doesn't make you go against your will. He knows how to make you willing to go, right? He knows how to make you willing to go. And once we open our hearts, this is what happens. The Holy Spirit will come into our lives, right? And it'll start to shape and mold us so that we will resemble, reveal, and reflect Christ's character.
Amen.
That's our prayer.
Amen.
So we have a chance to get it right every day we get up.
Thank you.
And my prayer for you and us all is that we'll hold strong, hold steady. We see all these things that are going on around us. We read it in Revelation, so you shouldn't get nervous.
Amen.
We know these things are coming.
Yes.
And those of us who are locked in on him, and I'm telling you, once in the Air Force, we're, you know, coming in on a plane one time and it's raining, you can't see anything, right? But when you've locked in on the radar, you know, you're looking and just clouds and you're coming in, and you say, I hope there's a runway underneath there. And you're looking around, you don't see anything, and you say, okay, we're radar, we're coming in on the glide slope and all those things. You don't know, but you're locked in on the radar. We need to be locked in on him. And my prayer is that we'll continue to strive. And listen, another thing too is this. Do you notice this? When you really turn and say, Lord, I want to do right, the devil's going to come at us over time. Right? You know, when he has you, he don't care about you. But when you say, Lord, I want to turn around, I want to change, a true change, that is when he comes at you over time. And don't be discouraged, right? We're not perfect. It's Christ who died for us to bridge that gap.
Amen.
And he's up there saying, you, me, her, everyone. He said, I died for them, Lord. Give him that chance. He bridged that gap. But we have to strive. It's character building. As he builds our character, he's going to get us ready for the earth made new. See, we have hope. When we believe in him, we have hope, because right, this isn't it. There's more.
Yes.
And when Christ comes into our lives, our selfishness decreases and you become selfless. That's why I'm saying, you know, thank God for my wife. I'll tell you, we've been married 37 years. And the word goes, Behind every good man, I'm going to change it. Behind, in front of, around, every good man is a great lady.
Amen.
Because she gives you someone to keep you on the right path. And I said, God, thank you, Jesus. Because sometimes, you know, to put up with me and all the different things, all the things that she's going through, Lord has placed that special person in your life.
Amen.
And I'm thankful today that you invited me here. And keep the faith. We see things, there is a God that cares about us. Only God could write us off. And you have a great physician that cares about you. So when I go into surgery, I say, you know, always pray before every case. Because as a surgeon, I know it's not about me, but it's about what the Lord has done. And that is the great physician. He's the one that makes all of the decisions in our lives. So as we go out today, just remember, you know what? We have a great God, right?
Amen.
We have a great God. I mean, I'm telling you, you go out and true freedom comes when he comes into our soul. Then you see things differently. The little things that tick you off. You go and come. You know that he's the one. And the mission that he has for all of us, it's not a great go for, no. The person you talk to every day. The words that come, you share the words with others. That is where the changes come. And there's a song I want you to listen to. We're going to play the song. And you listen to the words of this song. God places us so many different places. And we need to be a star. The children of Israel were supposed to be a light unto all nations, right?
Yes.
The message wasn't just for them. The message was for the Jews, Gentiles, everyone, because he wants to restore us.
Thank you.
So I want you to listen to this.
Rivers falling at their feet.
Yeah, see that song?
But making all the world my state, just doesn't mean that much to me. Ask anyone who's been there, it doesn't satisfy. It leaves a soul still longing for what gives me. I wanna be a star. I'm somewhere in the silent sky, like the one over Bethlehem that brought the humble and the wise. I want the world. And the hope that's found in you, I'll shine anywhere you ask me to. I just wanna be a star. Have you ever walked outside to the stillness of? And look deep into the heavens, oh, and view the brilliance of the light. I wished upon that moment that you could shine that way, even call out to. Silent sky.
So in closing, I want to say, to work with the Christ, we have to surrender all. You talk about all to Jesus, I surrender.
Yes.
And all we want to partner with him, be a star. Wherever he places us, we need to let our light shine for him. And that is what will start to draw people closer to him. So as we had a word of prayer, I just want the Lord to bless us all. And every day is a blessed day for us.
Thank you.
And let that word of prayer. Dear God, we want to thank you for this day. We want to thank you for your love, dear Lord.
Yes.
We know that you are in control and you will help us through all the rough times.
Yes.
Lord, help us to open our hearts that the Holy Spirit could work with us to help us do your work.
Thank you.
Lord, we thank you. We love you. We praise you.
Yes.
In the good times and the bad times, dear Lord, we know that you will always come through for us. And we want to join you, Lord, in completing work, but we know there's hope. There's something better. And as you build our character, dear Lord, again, help us to resemble, reveal, and reflect your character. Thank you. Amen.
Jonah will never be the same.
Amen.
That's quite a story.
Amen. Yes.
Thank you, Dr. Mitchell.
You're welcome.
Amen. It's God. Sister Denise. Brother, doctor.
Brother, okay.
Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Father, we love you and thank you for bringing us here today. Lord, it's true that a lot of times our biggest problem is ourselves.
Yes.
And Lord, we ask for help in that area. We ask the Holy Spirit to minister to us. Lord, as I said that, I just thinking of this. Sister that has a girlfriend that's doing good but at the same time not doing good. Lord, open our eyes that we might see glimpses of truth thou hast for me.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, Jesus, be a witness to her.
Amen.
Be a witness to her. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for blessing us so much. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you all. I love you.
Love you too.